ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Devils on horseback, angels on horseback, carrot, jelly, salad, chicken Kiev. Bring it back or let it die a natural death. We are talking about the comeback dishes, the retro menu. What's worth salvaging and what is worth washing your hands and truly forgetting? To help us determine this vexed question is none other than Danny Valente, your regular Arvo's foodie. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks, David.
Can I just clarify? Devils on horseback, angels on horseback.
Angels are with oysters. Devils are prunes and bacon.
And?
I think prunes and bacon, good.
Mm.
Oysters are so good just as they are. So I don't know if we need to have the angels on horseback.
Just on oysters, all right? I just have this, when you go into one of these restaurants that offer the range of oysters, you know, from, you know, whether you can have it with, paprika or, wedges of lime, just give me the oysters. Don't spoil it. You're a purist,
right?
Maybe I am.
I mean, some people want to mask the oyster because they think it's a great thing to eat, but they're just a little bit, I don't know, they just think they're a little bit hard to get down. They want a bit of wasabi sorbet on top to ease the passage. And look, I think sometimes you can add to an oyster, but I just think oysters are so great.
We're in the same shell in that regard. But when it comes to the fondue, when it comes to the cob loaf, when it comes to the vol-au-vent, what are your thoughts? What meals did you have as a child? This is actually a decent measure that you would like to revive and see on a modern menu. What's something that you actually have saved from way back when and now serve up to the kids? Then please tell us what that might be and what's worth saving. Is that the kind of right spruik? Is there something else?
Definitely. I think it's, I think it's also, I suppose, the idea of we might have had something as a child. Perhaps it was apricot chicken. Perhaps it was something with tuna. There was a lot of tuna.
There was a lot of tuna back then.
Can we have that dish back, but do we need to update a little bit? Do we need to not have the packet soup mix involved at all? Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm wanting. That's the guidance I need from the listeners.
Okay. So a little bit of guidance for Danny would be very much appreciated, and a whole lot of guidance for me even more. What are the comeback dishes that we need to revive or to renovate? You're with David Astle here on ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria, and we are talking about corned beef, about apricot chicken, about lots of things, because Danny Valente is here talking about comeback dishes. Danny, of course, is the regular foodie on afternoons and a writer, an eater, most importantly, and a cook. Danny, what about vol-au-vents? They seem to have caught the public imagination.
They have. I put up on Facebook this morning which dishes people wanted to see back, and there was a lot of love for the vol-au-vent. And I don't think it's just because it's such a fun thing to say.
Oh,
vol-au-vent. You know what it means, don't you?
Is it not?
It's a gust of wind. Yeah. And they're called such because they're made of two sheets of puff pastry. One's got a hole in it and sort of stuck to the rim of the bottom circle. And as it's baked, it puffs up and it's as light as a gust of wind.
It's puff on puff. But you know what it does remind me of when you get it right? It looks like a real Galvo rain tank.
Yeah.
You know, it's got the crenellations on the side.
It's a fancy French snack, David.
It's not a Galvo rain tank.
It's not something you find in a paddock. It's something you find on some fancy china. There's a lot of love for them, and you can do them sweet or savoury. So I think a lot of people are thinking back to, chicken and mushroom, creamy fillings, those kinds of things. But a little bit of chucky and strawberry doesn't go too badly in them either.
Oh, that sounds wicked. Now, did vol-au-vents really go away? Did they really go away? Or they've sort of always been with us?
I think they've certainly, they're not in their heyday, but I think they might have a second heyday that's just around the corner.
We've got many callers on 1300 222 774 about comeback dishes, those that are worth rescuing and those that are worth not rescuing. Craig joins us from Narre Warren. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Now, what are your nominations?
Well, my 10-year-old's absolute favourite meals are the corned beef with the white sauce.
Oh, the white sauce. Yes.
Chicken Kiev. The sweet curried sausages, she'll go absolutely mad for. And I don't know what to call it. We call it cheesy tuna. So it's just pasta, put in some frozen peas and corn, cook that all up, drain it, put in a tin of cold tuna, and then just an absolute ton of shredded cheese on top.
Yep. Kids are always going to eat that. You're raising a fantastic child of the 70s there, so I absolutely love it. A lot of classics there.
Do I go back about 40 years when I walk through your front door, Craig?
Probably. I'm sure that she'd say that was my choice in music and that as well.
At least you get to choose the music. That's great.
And I love, too, how you've trained your children to love this stuff. So basically you can say, well, it's what they want. It's what they want.
Yeah. It's the stuff that I know how to cook. And so I've given it a go and it's got the thumbs up. And, the curried sausages is a favourite. The new cuisine would be the chili con carne.
Okay.
Yeah. Great work, Craig. Yeah, you've got the full menu there and about the five basic food groups all in one week cycle. Well, well done.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, mate. Thanks for the menu.
Okay. No worries.
Cheers. We've got Kathy from Northcote joining us. Welcome, Kathy.
Hello, David. Lovely to have you back on the radio.
Thanks
God,
very much.
Craig's got me salivating.
Oh, I know. He's got me time travelling too.
Oh, wow. That's so fantastic. My dad used to get up early every morning and do the freshly squeezed orange juice before the Patra juice came in and then always do a porridge and then there was the lamb's fry. Oh, my God.
And porridge followed by lamb's fry. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sturdy breakfast.
We always had a cooked breakfast.
Always, I love it.
Always. It could have been lamb chops. It could have been anything. Fish fingers or bacon and eggs or whatever. He always put food in our bellies to go off to school. He was a teacher and he always wanted to put hot food in our bellies.
To set you up properly for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think the theme we're hearing is that there are some of these dishes that do stand the test of time, but I think sometimes you think about corned beef, for example, or the lamb's fry, and you think about things being overcooked and grey and unpalatable. But I suppose what we can do is bring a kind of really modern, fresh, contemporary cooking ethic to these things and really bring them back to life.
Yeah, and he always didn't overcook it. It was never tough.
Beautiful.
And he just dredged it in seasoned flour with the salt and pepper and then just sort of tossed it around and sloshed it with tomato sauce and Worcestershire sauce and then it was on the plate before you knew it. It was just tender and lovely. And I still cook it to this day.
Well, why wouldn't you when you've grown up with it so beautiful?
Yeah,
I'm going to put you in, Kathy, for a cooking show. You've just said sloshed and dredged in absolutely such beautiful, illustrious language. I think you've basically created a word picture there. That's beautiful work. And you've made me salivate. So thanks so much for your work.
Thanks, David.
Cheers, Kathy. All the best.
Take it. Bye.
Bye. We've got lots of, in fact, a fair bit of love coming through for horses' doves. Let's get it right. When we say vol-au-vents, we need to pronounce it as horses' doves, the hors d'oeuvres, of course. We've got the chow mein is loved by my daughter, although I don't put in the packet of chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Says Jeanette.
Well, there you go. That's this kind of update that we're looking for, isn't it, in 2018?
So if you've got a little bit of a flourish or just a tweak on a regular recipe when it comes to this sort of retro cuisine, what is the addition or the omission or just the variation that you're adding to this old school stuff? Because that's also part of this chat. And Danny, I'm going to have to say that the other thing that's really coming in strongly is, and this is controversial because it does have quite a few louche connotations, is the fondue.
Ah, the fondue. Good old fondue. I think we need to get those fondue sets out of the op shop, out of the basement and out of the attic and back onto the kitchen table and let's resurrect it.
So you have a bit of a fondue background?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I have
eaten. I don't mean anything by that.
I have eaten fondue in Switzerland, so in situ. Fondue in situ. Can't be beat.
Yeah.
And it is such a social way of eating, so you do have to sit around and you've got that glow from the candle that keeps the cheese or the chocolate warm. And, you know, it's a meal that you have to engage with. And I think in these, you know, easy to disengage, solitary times, you know, I mean, you can't really imagine having a fondue for one, can you?
It's true. There's a really strong ritual associated with fondue, which is part of its charm.
Definitely. And it's also a way to eat cheese. And any way to eat cheese is a very good thing in my book.
I don't think you need to go to the full extent of having a sunken fondue pit.
You must need a lot of cheese to fill one of those.
Actually, I did see that recent film. Is it the Swinging Safari? And there was a, you know, swinging was the operative word there, and there was a fondue pit. I mean, fondue, I think, does get associated with a little bit of the 70s that we have moved on from.
A little bit of key party.
A key party.
I think we can have fondue without the key party. It's a good wholesome way to eat. Jenny, and you get lots of crudités in there as well, so healthy crunch as well.
Jenny from Daylesford. In fact, we'll be talking about Daylesford and the Chill Out Festival very shortly, which is coming up, the big pink 21st party. Wonderful for that festival very shortly. But, Jenny has texted in on 0437 774 774 by saying that now dreaming of those vol-au-vents with chicken and mushrooms served at my parents' dinner parties in the late 60s. Oh, yes, that's right. Along with the serving of a particular cigarette brand from a leather cup to the guests. Very swank,
so Jenny. Classy.
You lived in the pinnacle of sophistication, I can tell. We've got Vicky from Altona. Alita has been waiting very patiently. Welcome, Alita.
Hi,
from Crawford. What have you got now? Very well. Now, you have – actually, this is a menu that the apricot chicken. Have you done anything different to apricot chicken?
So it's actually a funny thing because I'm a child of the 80s and I wasn't introduced to apricot chicken until I met my now husband when I was 17 and we'd go to his grandparents' house for dinner. And so his grandmother used to make apricot chicken and it was delicious. And then I found out that it had sort of packet onion soup mixed in it. And I'll be really honest, I've tried many variations and nothing is as good as when you make it with a packet soup mix, which horrifies me to say.
Sometimes it just has to taste like it tasted when you first grew to love it. And there's so many mysterious ingredients that get that particular taste. So, some people just have to keep going back for it. But I think, we can bring in fresh apricots and, leave out some of the tin nectar and really dress up that sort of dish and modernise it, make it really fresh and yummy.
You know what? I've tried and it depends on what you're going for. Are you trying to modernise it or are you trying to actually bring back the original flavours?
That is a very relevant question. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to just go back to the past or are we trying to, drag these dishes into the future? I'm not sure. And actually, the great thing about food is that there's no wrong answer. So you can have the apricot chicken that you want. As long as you can find some people to enjoy it with, then it's all good.
It's delicious.
My husband's family is still happy.
Oh, you bet.
All good.
Yeah, you're a keeper. You're keeping with the family traditions. But
absolutely.
There's also, it's delicious and it's nostalgic. I mean, all that in one meal. How can you resist, Alita?
Winning at life.
You're winning in life. You really
totally,
are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have hit peak. Well done.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alita. Okay, you
bye.
Too. Bye. Oh, Vicky from Altona. Vicky with another suggestion. Welcome, Vicky. Now, maybe you can help us with the vegetarian option here.
Oh, my son had a birthday 8 years ago for his 30th. So he was born in 1979. So we had the 70s.
Yes, no, Hello. You're right, yes. Hello.
And one of the things which would be vegetarian, but it, the whole thing wasn't necessarily vegetarian, he loves meat, was asparagus rolls was a big thing in the 70s. Whenever we went to a party or a book club or anything, you took asparagus rolls.
With the toothpicks, Vicky? You've got to go the toothpicks, don't you?
And the paprika on top, but with homemade mayonnaise and butter and very lightly cooked asparagus.
Okay, I would have been at that party. That's fine with me.
And brown bread. It's really simple, but it works. And then we had things like
fresh asparagus. Fresh asparagus, lightly blanched. Yes, so there's a little bit of al dente quality to them. You're not going the full sog, I hope. No, right?
No. And you have to find the rolling pin and roll it out and butter the bread and fresh homemade mayonnaise.
Now, you're in Altona, Vicky, so did you make a little platter there that you could possibly drop by at South Bank? They sound particularly scrumptious.
Well, I probably haven't made them since that time, for his birthday 8 years ago when he was 30. But the other thing we had in the 70s, we were lucky actually for the party. I still had my mother's cuisine gourmandise and La Cuisine, Raymond Oliver, and Michelle Garrard's cookbooks. So we looked up lots of things in there.
Lots of classics in there.
Yes,
Vicky.
Lots of French classics. And I still had the whole, where I learned to cook was a whole a lot of magazines on French cooking in the early 70s.
Well done.
We still had those.
Well done.
Things like salmon mousse and lemon.
Oh,
yes.
Some of those things are never going to go out of style, but I do fear that we're veering into dangerous territory with gelatin things.
That's right.
Yeah, it depends.
It's a yellow card.
It depends because I'm so happy to have bolivon and apricot chicken and chicken Kiev and all those the beautiful things, but I'm not okay with jelly salads.
We've got lots of – thank you so much, Vicky, for your call. Matilda would actually like to go on a blind dinner date with Craig from Narre Warren. So, Craig, if you're still listening, that formula, that menu is working on so many levels. Keep going.
Key party.
Craig from Horsham, as a 90s kid, I think the time is ripe for a focaccia comeback. There you go. And the pesto.
Yeah.
Oh, look, so many. Look, this has really touched the nerve here, Danny. Cottage pie with sweet potato topping from Ange.
Oh, well, I feel like the sweet potato is a little bit of an update from the regular, white potato topping for a cottage pie. So I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Yummo, which I don't think is your real name, it actually might be an interjection. Yummo has suggested, I'm being facetious here, a texter has suggested that you add to apricot chicken ginger and chili.
Ah, see, that's the kind of beautiful update that we're looking for. I love that idea.
If you're feeling a bit radical, then just go for a bit of ginger and chili. We've got Margie. My kids growing up loved apricot chicken to the point I couldn't stand it. But 20 years on, I now cook a great version for family get-togethers by wonderful chef Karen Martin. Martini, it should be. It's a Turkish apricot chicken with saffron and pistachios. It's great to keep the childhood memories going.
Yes. That's beautiful. I mean, Karen Martini, beautiful chef, great recipes. There's another great cookbook out recently by some Melbourne cooks, Matt Wilkinson and Charlie Gibb, Howard Is at Home. And they've got a beautiful apricot chicken recipe as well. So there are quite a few local chefs putting a new spin on these things and bringing in some of those great multicultural flavours that we love in Melbourne.
Now, you can head for Danny Valent's Facebook page and add to the string of posts that have already come flooding through on her Facebook
page.
You've got a cult following because this has been a cult topic. But we'll link on the ABC website to this topic because it really has just been catnip for so many listeners. It's been the vol-au-vent topic of 2018 so far.
I'm loving it.
It's pocket size, it's delicious, and we just can't keep having enough of them.
Just add mushrooms.
Just add mushrooms. Thanks so much, Danny.
Thanks.
Lovely to see you again.
You too.
Danny Valent there. She is a writer, she is a cook, and she is an eater. And if you want to head for that page, then head for the Danny Valent page. That's DANIVALENT.com.